Because the truth is that if you're living a life of YOLO, where you are spending every dollar you have and you're not necessarily being really intentional sometimes with your decisions for like the future, then you create this challenge where, okay, there's going to be some stress monetarily when it's coming like in those later years. But then to the flip side, if you are saving every single dime, you're putting it all away, you're not taking any of those, that time to do some of those experiences. And to your point, some of the things where health-wise, it really is the period of your life you should be doing that, then you're living your life in the later years with some regret, with some wishing that you had, right?
I think in a lot of this, and I would tell anyone that's trying to figure out financial mastery, you do need advisors and helpers, because the problem with your finances, regardless of how much money you have, is you're way too emotional about your finances.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider, and today we have Mr. Eric Buchanan with us. And so he is an agent, insurance agent with Goosehead. He's also just very knowledgeable in so many aspects, and so we're super excited to have him on the show today. Welcome, Eric. Tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you're excited to be on the show today.
Well, Jax, thank you. Great to be on with you. Yeah, so I guess I'll kind of get out of the way of what I do. So Eric Buchanan with the Buchanan Agency, part of the Goosehead Insurance Brokerage Network. I help a lot of folks with their property and casualty needs, home, auto, liability, jewelry, even work with folks on life and commercial to an extent. So as you probably think about your classic insurance agent, the difference that makes Goosehead unique and what I love from a value prop is, as a brokerage, I work with 50 different carriers in the state of Texas. And the way our aggregation of our brokerage works, I don't have sales quotas with different carriers. So, you know, if I give you a Nationwide quote or a Progressive, it's not because I'm trying to fill a bucket for the month, if you know what I mean. So yeah, happy to help folks with that. I guess a little background. I've had this agency for almost 5 years now. Previous to that, I worked in collegiate sports marketing. You probably see all the Oregon, Iowa, Texas A&M helmets. People are like, ask, well, like, you know, how did sports marketing help you with insurance? Sold a lot of sponsorship to the insurance companies, the Geico commercials, the Progressive commercials. But more than anything, I moved around the country a lot and was buying homes. And I have 3 teenage kids, so I know what those auto policies look like right now, and have a few gray hairs here and here. So I think one of the biggest things that probably feeds into the whole point of your show, Financial Mastery, is generally speaking, whatever you're going through right now in your stage of life, I've either have done that 20 years ago, I'm currently doing it now, or I'm thinking about that next step. So I think that gives me a lot of connection and commonality with the people that, you know, I might do a portfolio review with or run insurance quotes for. Is I think I do have some empathy for what you're going through. That's probably one of the main things that I'll bring to the table in my agency, is just that, where are you in life and what are you wrestling with right now?
Yep. When I think that you wanted to kind of focus a little bit on our conversation around a book that I actually have not read, although I've done a little bit of research on. And so, you want to introduce and say why you're so passionate about this book?
Well, so this book is called Die with Zero by, I don't know if you can see it very well, by Bill Perkins. It's not very expensive. I think it's like $22. I had a good friend of mine, Jones Laughlin, who's a speaker, a trainer. He used to work with me in my old career in learning and development at Learfield with all the schools. He recommended I read the book. And a lot of the key things I took away is, and I've been in many ways and parts of my life good at this, of buying the right kinds of insurances, having insurance to replace your income, like disability insurance, life insurance. And this book does not say don't do those things. It very much like do kind of what you need to do. And I think you said something in the pre-show where, hey, your financial journey doesn't have to be mine, but we can still share our mastery with each other and what we learn.
For sure.
But if you're fairly buttoned up or wanting to do right, and I think when it comes to finances, most people are like, do I have all the right insurances? Am I saving enough money? Am I, you know, do I, and as you get older, do I have long-term care? And we get into all these things, and everybody wants all the platinum policies, the maxed out savings accounts. But it's tough when you're in the middle of life and you've got different things that are pulling, you know, I have two boys in travel baseball. That's not cheap, right?
And for sure.
So I think one of the things the book will remind you of is that while saving money, building wealth, and being a responsible adult is good, your life at the end of the day is still the sum of your experiences.
For sure.
And you can't take all these financial tools with you to your grave, right? I mean, you can have a life insurance policy and it can take care of your family if you were to die at a time when you're not planning to die. But I think, you know, there's just some really good high points in the book that I got out of it. One, and I talk about this with my kids all the time, I do things now that you can only do now.
Yes, for sure.
For instance, you know, if you're doing something, you know, if you're 26 and you want to run a marathon, like do it now, spend the money on it. Because when you're 45, you may be too old to go do that. So you have to think like, and then if there's things that can wait, like if you can do an activity at age 45, just as well as 25, then you can make a decision to say, hey, I'm not going to invest in that now, because I have these other things that the clock is running faster on. So if your life's the sum of your experiences, at what age can you do which experiences?
For sure.
You know, if you're young and kind of broke and you want to like do the backpack tour of Europe, that's a good time to do it. Maybe when you're 45 and got three kids, it's probably a bad time to do it.
I was going
to
say, well, yeah, you don't necessarily want to be sleeping in those hostels on those like really horrible beds when you get old. And if you sleep with the wrong pillow, that it's going to jack up your body forever, right? Well, and it's funny that you're talking about this, because I feel like, and maybe you disagree with me, but there has been this weird divide. It's like the baby boomer generation, they were like save, 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 and they didn't do a lot of the things they should have done younger, because in their mind, they were just going to wait till retirement, and then we were going to do all these things. And to your point, you can't. And then I feel like the very younger generation, the Gen Zers, and even maybe the kind of later millennials, they had this very idea of like YOLO, where no, you know, you only live once, and so we need to spend it all right now. And in my personal opinion, I feel like it really needs to be a blended approach. Like the pendulum can't be like too far one way or the other, right? Like we need to be a little bit more in the middle, because the truth is that if you're living the life of YOLO, where you are spending every dollar you have and you're not necessarily being really intentional sometimes with your decisions for like the future, then you create this challenge where, okay, there's going to be some stress monetarily when it's coming like in those later years. But then to the flip side, if you are saving every single dime, you're putting it all away, you're not taking that time to do some of those experiences. And to your point, some of the things where health-wise, it really is the period of your life you should be doing that, then you're living your life in the later years with some regret, with some wishing that you had, right?
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
So I don't know, maybe you disagree with me on that point, but
I think you touched. So if you think about generations, baby boomers, my generation is X. And then there's what, the millennials? And
the millennials. Yeah, I'm like the weird cusp. I'm like kind of part millennial, part Gen X.
Well, things that, you know, now that I'm 54 and like, what have I learned so far in my life? So my parents were like smack dab in the baby boomer generation. So that was the last generation that bought in believing that I get a job, maybe I'm at the same factory and I get a pension. Like that's the last generation of that. And I would say for the most part, that was their experience. And they worked until 62. But that generation was also the generation that, you know, if you go look at the old photos, like from a cookout from 1972, everybody's got a cigarette in their mouth. Like that when they got older, their health wasn't as good for different reasons.
Sure.
And so you get to retirement and you had all the money saved, to your point, like they were saved. They were very, because they were one generation removed from the Depression era. Like their grandparents were Depression era folks where, you know, if there's a rag, they saved the rag because you never know when you need a rag. You know, it's just, that was the mentality.
Sure.
So, and as we, as a country, get more successful, more affluent, you get further from that. So I think if the Gen Z and maybe some of the millennials more YOLO, like in Gen X, I'm somewhere in between where I've seen like, yeah, I'll do some things. Like I will tell you in the last 5 years, I had a corporate job. COVID came. I was running training. There were no sporting events, so we didn't need to hire people. So I'm a 49-year-old guy making a great salary. Guess what? You know, I'm a victim of COVID, right? Now, the beauty is I had saved, like my baby boomer part of me had saved in my retirement really well. So I had the capital to go start my own business and go back to zero financially.
Right.
Whereas my other choice was go get some other job making, you know, low six figures and just, you know, where you're used to spending and how you built your family, like going back to zero is hard. And I think
it is,
you know, sometimes it's financial mastery. Sometimes it's financial white knuckles. Like you're just trying to get through it all. You know, one thing I would share with the millennial and Gen Z is I think some of the YOLO is fine. And one of the points in the book, you know, the younger you are, be bolder. Like, what does it mean to be bolder? Like, maybe take that European trip and see the world when it's cheap. I would also say go buy, when you're young and you're struggling, go buy that rental property and build an asset down the road that really, I mean, you can sell 20 years later.
For sure.
And it might mean you're eating macaroni and cheese for another 2 years at age 28. But now if you get this little ranch home that is going to double in value, like that's a great financial decision. So I think, you know, be bold, try to manage life experiences. I've been living off a portion of my savings. Each year it got less as I built my income through my business. And now I'm at the point where I'm not really pulling savings out. But in 3.5-4 years, I burned through some savings.
For sure.
It wasn't really for the business. It was for life. We still took our kids to the Dominican Republic for baseball camps. We still went on vacations. Like there was this balance of I'm spending savings for what feels like I would spend with paycheck money, but my kids are only going to be 15, 16, and 17 one time in their life. So I think as you wrestle with financial mastery, trying to do everything perfect and right, with also that time is fleeting. And that's what Die with Zero saying is, you know, there's a couple of great thoughts in there. They talk about a lady in Brooklyn that I think she was a school teacher or had some public sector job. She didn't have any kids. She saved all her money, like did an amazing job, lived frugally in a little, you know, 800 square foot apartment in Brooklyn and whatever. So then when she died, her estate left $6 million to this charity, and which is awesome. But in the book, the author says that was wrong. She should have been giving money as she was making money, because she could have gotten the money to people sooner. So I'm not saying that's just the author's opinion, right? Who be us to tell a lady that saved $6 million, she did it wrong. She did a pretty good job. But it's just another point of view of if you're, you know, I think baby boomer parents have, they plan on giving their estate to their kids through their will.
Right.
There'll be an inheritance. But could those kids use some of that money at age 30 to make a down payment?
Absolutely.
Right, home? And so there's just these theories about money that there's kind of a textbook way, old school way to do it. And it's not wrong or right. But then there's, how are you using it while you're alive? And I think the last point that in Die with Zero, and it really gets to the title of the book, sometimes people will save, and he talks about a lot of couples that would have 400, they'd be 83 years old, not much time left, right? Toward the end of their life. And they might still have 400 grand saved away. It's like, well, why are you saving that? Like, what's that
right
for? Well, it's for a medical emergency. And he's like, look, if you're 83 or any age and you're on your deathbed, like, I'm not being morbid, but be realistic, and you don't have health insurance, it's $50,000 a day in a hospital. You're going to burn through 200, 300, 400. Like, that money's going to vaporize. So, like, why are you saving it for that? Like, you're not going to be denied health care at that stage. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that, you know, the whole premise behind Financial Mastery Simplified is that it does look different for every single person. And, you know, the real thing that we need is information, you know, so that we can live life on our own terms. Because the way that you see and want to do your, you know, family and the way you live life, right, versus the way that I do versus the way that somebody else does, there's nothing necessarily inherently wrong. It's about making informed decisions that are in alignment with what we want to be in life, right? And it's about being strategic with, you know, how we decide to take certain risks. Or, you know, I mean, I had a conversation and a younger person came up to me recently, and he worked a job in a restaurant industry where he was making fairly good money, and he had an opportunity to possibly go into commercial real estate. So some data kind of driven stuff. And he's still in college. He's getting a degree in computer science, I believe. Right. And so he was asking me, well, what do I do? Because this other job, this one in commercial real estate, is less money than what I'm making at the current job. And I said, okay. I said, but you're very young, and this is the opportunity in your life to take risk, right? So, you know, what is that? What does this job get you versus this job? And there's not necessarily one right answer, right? Me knowing his personality and kind of where he wanted to go in life and what he was looking to kind of achieve, I sort of pushed him a little more towards a commercial real estate aspect because I felt like it was going to be more in line with what he looked. And I kind of pointed that out to him on some of the alignment. But I said, ultimately, it's your choice, right? Because both of them have merit. This one is going to provide you more money now, which might allow you to do, to your point, you know, more things, right? You can go maybe on more trips or do more things like this. This one might set you up for a much more broad and wonderful financial future. So you have to kind of look at that, right? And I didn't necessarily tell him what to do because the truth is he needed to make that call for himself. And that's why I told him. I said, I feel like this is probably the better path for you, but you really need to dig deep. And you need to ask yourself these questions because there are things I can't answer for you, right? Like, I'm looking from the outside and it's easy for me to say, oh, this would possibly be the best choice because the truth is that no one is living in your particular set of circumstances. And I feel like the thing that frustrates me the most, I think, in general with people who work in the financial space is they always are like, well, this is how you have to do it. And I disagree holistically that is how you have to do it. There's lots of different options. There's lots of different choices. It is what is resonating with you. What speaks to you, right? So if that is to take that trip, right, and have that experience and whatever, then you do that. Or if it's, you know, no, I think it would be great to be able to like eat beans and rice or mac and cheese for a little bit of time to get that first rental property, because that's going to then fuel my journey down the financial path or whatever. Also great. There's not necessarily a right or wrong. I definitely don't think that you should be a miser and just hold all of your money. I told, my Oma, just to kind of tell you a little story. So I come from a family where my Oma was literally, and then for those of you who don't know, Oma is German for grandmother. She literally grew up in the Great Depression in Germany. I mean, the worst of the worst of depressions. Sure. The stories she told were like literally just crazy. You know, she talks about keeping a knife in her boot, you know, for when the bombings would happen. So you have to run down into a basement and you never knew who you were going to have in those basement situations. She told like crazy stories, right? And here's a woman who obviously, because she came from a place of lack for a lot of her life, she saved and you know, saved her pennies, but she was a dog groomer. So we're not talking about somebody who amassed lots and lots of money. And she had maybe $20,000 or so in savings. And she and I were having a conversation because she had these old sofas. Like, we're talking older than me sofas that she had for probably 30 years. And she had these in her home. And I said to her, why don't you ever replace the sofas? Well, I can't spend that money. I said, why can't you spend the money? Well, because I need that money to go to you and your cousins, you know, your brother, your cousins. And I was like, Oma, I love you so much, but think about this for a minute. If you take $20,000, and that's assuming you have it, right? That you haven't needed it for some other emergency or whatever the case, right? That's going to be $5,000 for each of us, because there was four of us. And I'm like, no offense, but that's not like a huge amount of money. And I know it took you a lot to earn that. And I respect that, but we would rather you live your life. And she bought a sofa like within a couple of weeks of hers and I conversation. And my aunt calls me and says, how did you get her to do it? I said, how did I get her to do what? And she's like, I've been trying to tell her, you know, to buy, you know, new things because she had really wanted this for a while. And I said, I just told her she didn't need to hold on to the money for me. Like, she had been holding on to it. And then I appreciate it. And I told her that I appreciated it. What a sweet thought, right? That this is what she was looking for. But I wanted her to live her life, like to invest or whatever. And when I was going through a little bit of a hardship, she actually was so kind to give me a little bit of money. And I appreciated that much more than, oh, she passed away and now she left me 5, 10, or 20 grand or whatever it was. Well, you know what I mean?
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy to understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
It talks about in the book that a lot of times when people get the inheritance, so they may be a child, like my dad's going to be 79 in November. And it's not that but I'm 54. So in the book, it talks about someone who's like 56, their parent dies. Here's a couple $100,000, which isn't the biggest inheritance in the world, but it's not nothing, right?
Yeah. So more money than you had yesterday.
Yeah. And at that person at age 56, who I think she was a single mom, struggling through the 30s, but hung in there. And by 56, she's kind of overcome the issues and the kids grown up on their own working, her income and expenses have So it's like, it's great to have that money. She's like, I could have really used half of that money or a fraction of it at a different time. And so
For sure,
a couple things you talked about, I think, you know, your grandmother's experience is shaped by those world events and those local events for her.
Absolutely.
Literally local and world. And you're not going to take all that out of that person's calculation.
For sure.
But I think that's where you have to be like, okay. And you have to respect that, like, because they went through it. Like,
for sure.
All stuff that you've never had to deal with. Never.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Now, I think on the flip side, you can say, hey, I honor that. And let's hold to some of those values. But let's also, and I think what you did, and what it sounds like you did, is you gave her permission.
For sure.
Her mind is wired a certain way based on her experiences and her fears. Because a lot of your financial planning is about your deepest fears. Right.
It's more about fear than it is about anything else, truthfully. Yeah.
So, and that's okay. And a little bit of fear motivation is a healthy thing. It's back when we were running around with sticks, trying to, you know, run from lions and kill our prey. I mean, it's all that stuff's hardwired in, but I've been lucky to have good financial planners that, I mean, one time I was saving so much that I was maxing out savings where every month I had a small deficit and he's like, stop saving so much. And I needed the finance to give me permission. You see what I mean?
For sure. Absolutely.
And so maybe I was being like your grandmother in a way, right? I was just hardwired in. So I think that give permission that I will generationally. The other thing too, and you talk about it with the younger group, is passing down, you know, what our experience is as, you know, 54, 55. To turn to somebody who's 25, taking their first job at AT&T or wherever, my advice now is, hey, it's great. You got your first job. You're making 50, 60 grand. You're going to get a couple promotions, 70. Next, you know, you're at 100. Then you get married and kids. And now you got all this stuff you own, all these bills. And that's some of that's going to come with the territory. Because if you want to have a family, guess what? You're buying high chairs and playpens, right? Like you just are.
Absolutely.
And that's all good. I would really advise people now that are going to go into like the corporate world at age 25 and they think that's what they're going to do. Go do that. You can do it. I would advise two things. One, assume that they're going to downsize you at age 50. Like that needs to be in your plan. Now, if it doesn't happen,
sure,
great. But nobody told us that and it wasn't in my plan. And I was able to pivot and reinvent myself again.
For sure.
Because, you know, when you get to a later age, your marketability is not the same for a lot of reasons in the class. And then I think the other piece, because you have to assume or be prepared for these potholes that are 20, 30 years down the road, is how can you build some kind of passive income? Either
for sure.
Through, you know, and not just your investments, which great, invest money. I mean, they grew greatly, but a rental property or some kind of thing on the side that's easy for you to manage. And I think also even add to that one step further, there's a lot of, if you watch like Simon Sinek, he has a lot of books like The Power of Why. People talk about their why, and I don't want to dissuade anyone from their why, but A, does your why pay the bills? B, is your why truly able to support others? And sometimes your why might be a hobby, not a job. And that's okay too. But what's your pragmatic why? Like I didn't grow up going, I want to be an insurance agent. I mean, when I was in college,
for sure,
I wanted to work in sports and I did for 30 years and I traveled all over the country. And then when I got to this age, I'm like, okay, the world's changing. COVID, my life's changing. And I even thought about being in financial planning, but it was, I thought at age 49, it was too long of a ramp up period.
For sure.
To get the rocket fuel back into the family budget that I needed. And so I picked insurance because I'm not a financial advisor. I'm a financial defender. I'm building a wall around your castle.
For sure.
And so I'm still working on a lot of the same concepts, the same mini whys of I can help somebody be wiser, more thoughtful about and helping them financially. Yeah, sure. I can save them a nickel on an insurance policy. That's great. That's very much in the short term. But can I get their coverage right? Because maybe they have enough net worth, but they're undercovered. And one bad car accident, one mistake, and then a lifetime just goes away. So I feel like I do a lot of those same things that a financial advisor or wealth management person might do in terms of sitting down and planning and assessing where you are at your stage of life. And I think that's where this book, Die with Zero, is like, where are we? Because really, it talks about a lot of the sweet spot is between 45 and 65, when you're still pretty healthy, you're pretty active. Maybe you're not going to, you know, do ski jumping or something like that. But you also have the funds to go do some things.
For sure.
Sometimes when you're young, you're healthy, but you got literally no money. You can't really start a hobby, right?
It's just
hard. So I think trying to pull all those things in together and really, you know, if I was sitting down with somebody in Gen Z, you know, the baby boomers thought they were going to have a pension. Most of them did, even though it started to peel back at the end of that. My generation was like, we're never going to get a pension. We're going to do a 401k. But I just think, don't assume that your job's going to be there forever. And I don't think people do that, but assume that you'll be in a different place at age 50 than you can imagine right now at 25 or 30.
I was going to say, I think it's super important also, and this is something, I mean, I was raised in a family where we actually did talk a lot about money and we did have some conversations and about planning and things like that, which is much different than a lot of people, but finding a mentor or finding podcasts, different information that can really make you think a little bit differently, things through a little bit differently. Because, you know, the knock, of course, on every generation is like, when you're younger, you're like, oh, those old people, they don't have a freaking clue or whatever. Well, they do have a clue. Maybe it's a little bit different. And you're right. They're sort of negating what you know, right? Versus what they know. But there's a lot of really good information there, right? And if you're seeking out the right kind of advice from people who are going to be kind of wise counsel to you, it can be very helpful kind of in your path. Because I tell everybody, understand, first of all, that nothing is certain or guaranteed, right? Whereas like my dad could not understand why I didn't just go and work for the same company for like my whole life, like, what was that, right? And I had to kind of explain to him kind of some of that logic. I'm always going to bet more on myself. I'm always going to bet more on my own ability and my own, you know, wherewithal or whatever. And to your point, I think when people are thinking about their why and trying to really embrace it, I think sometimes when you're younger, you have a very romanticized idea of your why. And like, you do to a certain extent. I mean, I've told my girls this, sometimes you do have to pay the bills. But you can thread those things together, right? Because I'll give you a perfect example. I end up in mortgage on accident. It wasn't necessarily like I also said, well, you know what I want to do with the rest of my life? Like, I want to work in mortgage. Like, woohoo, right? I mean, I joke all the time, we're the boring part of the real estate transaction. Super necessary, very boring. Nobody's like excited about borrowing money. That's not thrilling. But when I really started stepping back and I asked myself, like, why do I love this? The truth is because I like helping people financially succeed. And for me, financial success, for the most part, is somebody owning a home. Okay. They can find financial success another way. And if they do, that's fine. But for me, that's usually one of the big ticket items, the big rocks in that. And I get to help be a part of that. So sometimes when you're younger and you are trying to figure out like, oh, how do I merge my why with like jobs? Sometimes you have to think about it not from like what the job is on its face, but like you said, you described yourself as a defender, right? Of people's stuff. So you build the wall around their castle, right? And like, there is such great beauty in that, right? You don't have to necessarily be excited about insurance, but you can be excited about the concept of helping people protect what they've built, right? I mean, there was a horrible storm the other night. I don't know if you remember. And my husband and I happened to have gone to a late night movie. And so we didn't get out till super, super late. And we were like, hey, we need to go check something on our house. So we drove because it's one of these doors like to pop open. And so we're driving and we see in the distance this gold glow. And we're both like, what is that? Is something on fire? And sure enough, something was on fire. And I'm 99% sure that these people were out of town. And because it was so late at night, nobody was like awake to like call the fire department to tell them, you know, whatever. And so we actually were going to call somebody. It looks like somebody else had called because we saw some fire trucks. So we didn't. But this house had been ablaze for a while. And when we drove by it the next day, I mean, it's a shell. right? All that, you know, is done. And when you think about that for a minute and you think about what you do for a living, like, this is why you do that, because nothing will ever truly replace the beautiful memories, you know, photos or whatever that they had in that home that was like super immensely just like them. But what can happen is that insurance company can provide the monetary amount to try to help make that whole again, right? And so when we're thinking about careers and jobs and what are we doing with our lives and how do we insulate ourselves, passive income for sure is one of those things that can really, really help. And there's lots of different ways to do it now more than ever with how many things we have at our disposal. But also thinking about jobs from a different lens, right? What's your ultimate and big why? And like, how can that translate into some of the things that you're doing? Because I joke that all three of my girls, they told me, we don't want to be in the financial space, Jax. And all three of them have worked in the financial space in the course of them going into adulthood, which kind of cracks me up.
I think everybody needs purpose and an identity. And that's why, sure. You know, where you have like, you know, with three teenagers, you see where kids struggle, like when they don't have an identity.
For sure.
Those tough teen years. So yeah, I think kids growing up, they wanted to be a policeman, fireman, astronaut, maybe a like there was only like 6-7 jobs they wanted to be. Nobody said mortgage or insurance, to your point. But I think where you, beyond the paycheck, what you get is when you help somebody and A, you listen to them, you make them feel heard, and then you give them a couple tactical nuggets where either they didn't know or you give them permission to think differently. And also, I think in a lot of this, and I would tell anyone that's trying to figure out financial mastery, you do need advisors and helpers, because the problem with your finances, regardless of how much money you have, is you're way too emotional about your finances. You know, like I can think something's bad in my checkbook and you look at it and go, that's not a problem, really.
For
like,
sure.
You might tweak this or that. And it would be the same thing. You would be all worked up over a thing and be like, Jax, what are you worried about? Like, this is like, do you like doing this? Yeah. Okay. Do it. So you need somebody, again, just like with your Oma, to give permission to and say,
sure.
Yeah, like I understand. And people need to be understood. That's a big need. And so I think in your business, mortgage and insurance, you're able not only to help people, there's levers you can pull, there's insight you can give, but you can make people feel heard. You can help them find their way to a solution to whatever problem. And it won't be the exact solution they had in mind, or it may not be even the most perfect, but it may be still a very good solution. And I think,
for sure,
I think in finance, we sometimes let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And that's, again, that kind of goes back to the permission thing, is just advance, just keep getting a little better every day. And are you doing the things? And that's what this book's about. Are you doing the things? Like I have videos of trips and baseball and all kinds of stuff on my phone. But I also think that if someday, if I'm 83 in a nursing home and I'm just sitting there eating my Jell-O or whatever it is, I think that tape will be rolling in my head of all the cool stuff we did in our life. And that maybe is like a gift you can give yourself. And so, again, I know that's not, you know, maxing out the retirement or getting the lowest mortgage rate, you know, things that we all think have to be perfect, but you get one time around the block. So what do you do with it?
Well, let's be real. I don't think anybody does this perfectly. I mean, part of the reason I also started the podcast is I'm somebody with lots of financial expertise, right? I mean, the different industries that I've worked in span. We've got mortgage, insurance, and for insurances, property and casualty, life. I have a law degree. So there's like a lot of practical pieces and application there, right? When it comes to money, because there's a lot of legal jargon and everything surrounding that. And then like, you know, you start adding all the layers. But the truth is, I don't do everything financially perfectly. And I take risks sometimes that don't pan out, or do something that I step into and I'm like, oof, that wasn't the best choice, right? Like, what was I thinking on that one? But the truth is that when you start allowing yourself to be in alignment, when you start thinking through these things, right? Not being the miser, not being the person who spends all their money every, you know, as soon as it hits their hand or whatever, being measured out so that you are investing in people and in things and in causes where, you know, you want to be involved with or whatever. I mean, that alignment is what true financial mastery is all about, because that alignment is what makes you feel whole, feel fulfilled, make sure that your stress level is low, because there's a lot of personal satisfaction, right, that comes from that level of fulfillment. And so I think a lot of times, like I said, people just don't necessarily see that. They're so looking when they come to this podcast for me to tell them, oh my gosh, you have to get the best mortgage interest rate. Or if you're in debt, you know, your life is doomed and you know, you're going to suck. Or if you don't do this certain career and make this certain amount of money, but that's just not the truth, right? I mean, you're a perfect example in the sense that you did something that you loved and were amazing at and all the things. And sometimes life just shifts. And then you have to pivot and you have to figure it out and you have to know that there's still going to be hope on the other side of this. It's just, again, going back and asking yourself, how do I reach that alignment? And whether that is a logical aspect, an emotional aspect, however that looks for you to come to that level, like that's really what matters. And this has been such an amazing conversation. I know, Eric, you don't necessarily have a true freebie to offer. However, I know that you're an amazing resource for people, especially when it comes to the insurance space. So speak a little bit about that and we'll wrap us up.
Well, yeah, I don't have any coupons or buy one, get one free offers. Sorry, insurance has kind of stayed in that way. I would just tell people I work for free until they buy something. And I think the upside for someone listening with that statement is call me and just let me run through your insurance portfolio. Let me make sure that based on the life you have and the things you're trying to do and what you're trying to protect, if you have the right coverages. It can be something as little as on people's auto, uninsured motorist property damage. You know, if you have a car that's worth $22,000, you only need to buy the $25,000 level. I see policies where people still have $100,000 on there.
Yep.
I'm like, you're literally giving money away for nothing because the insurance company is not going to give you $100,000. And when you explain it to people, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, well, why did you not adjust this down? I don't think about it. I'm busy. And it's not, I don't say that like to attack. I'm just like, is there a reason why you're overinsured here? No, I just don't know what I'm. And I'm like, that's where sitting down with someone and letting them look. And I've had times where I couldn't win the business. Just like you and I both know, we don't always win every time.
Nope.
But I'm like, hey, if you're going to go back to XYZ insurance, at least change those coverages based on the advice I gave you. And they're like, and I do think that part's fun because I've seen people come back to me a year later and are like, hey, I remembered how you treated me. And I think that when you go into your why, there's other whys than just the big thing you want to do, your title or your business.
For sure.
Are you like winning? I don't mean a competition, but are you winning hearts and minds in a good way every day?
Absolutely.
Are you making a difference? And I think that's the stuff that, you know, when our time is done and, you know, because so much of finance is about preparing for the end, but, you know, how will you really be judged? It won't be by your bank account. It'll be by the impact that you made. So there,
oh, no. Yeah.
Deep at the end of the podcast here.
Well, no, but it is the truth, right? And that's why I am so passionate about money and about financial mastery because, you know, I create so many different free resources. A lot of listeners may not even know that, guys. Like I have so many free resources to help you figure out budgeting, not necessarily in the traditional sense, but like, where's your money going? Like for self-awareness, like just so many different things, because the truth is I really just want you to financially succeed because when you do come to that end of your life, I want you to have lived a life that was yours, that was on your terms, that was what you wanted, not what Eric wanted for you, not what I wanted for you, but what you wanted for yourself and what gave you true, deep, intrinsic value. And there's just so much amazingness there. And I think that's most people. Most people really truly desire to help others that way, right? Help them, you know, whatever their gift is, whatever, you know, lights them up. And so thank you, Eric, so much for coming on and having this conversation, because definitely, I mean, I think that financial mastery has so many different layers and there's so much depth there that you can take. And we hopefully will see you again as another guest. And so hopefully this was a great episode of Financial Mastery Simplified, and we hopefully will see you again next week.
All right. Thanks for having me, Jax.